Open your Bible to the 34th chapter of the Gospel of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 34. That will be my text. The subject of this chapter is judgment. It describes the day of the Lord's vengeance. Let's read it together. Come near, ye nations, to hear. And hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out. And the stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains be melted with their blood, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their host shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as the falling of a fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse. Oh, what a word with which to describe a people. The people of my curse. The people of my curse. To judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with the fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of the rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and the dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. That is God's controversy with men because of their controversy with him and his people. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone. And the land thereof shall become a burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever, from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. He shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there. And all the princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up upon her palaces, and needles and brambles in the fortresses thereof. And it shall be an habitation of dragons, and a court for owls. The wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the island. And the satyr shall cry to his fellows, and the screech owl also shall rest there, and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay and hatch, and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Whatever this describes, it describes darkness and torment. Fowls and beasts of prey, never satiated, never satisfied. There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one to her mate. Verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Oh, you would be wise to seek out the book of God and read. Seek out the book of God and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. This is according to my decree, my order, my commandment. Verse 17. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. The judgment is my work. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. This chapter opens with a call for all nations and all people, all men and women of every age in all the earth, all who dwell on the earth and all who come forth from it, to hear God's prophet and his message. The message of God concerning his indignation with man. The chapter really has three sections. In verses 1 through 7, the Lord God announces the ultimate final judgment of the whole world by his hand. The ultimate final judgment of the whole world by his hand. Edom, set forth here as Edomia. Edom is held before us as the leading primary target of God's indignation. Why is that? Because Edom, the Edomites, the children of Esau, were a people who wore God's name, but despised God and his birthright. Throughout the scripture, Edom represents profane, sensual, religious people. Men and women who call themselves the people of God, but they despise God, his gospel, his people, and his way. Turn over to the book of Hebrews, if you will. Let's look at a couple of passages. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. Live peaceably as much as you can with everybody. And follow something else. Pursue this. And holiness. 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 Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. That holiness without which no man shall see the Lord is Jesus Christ himself. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Seek life from God. Without it, you'll perish in your sins. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Fornicator, profane. So despised God that for just a bowl of beans, he sold the birthright of the covenant God gave to Abraham. Oh, he said, I don't need Christ. I don't want Christ. I want to have my way, and I'm going to do what I want to do. He is a profane man, a fornicator. To hell with God. I'll do what I want to. That's Esau. That's Esau. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he wanted the blessing. He wanted the blessing, not God, the blessing. He wanted the blessing, not Christ, but the blessing. He wanted life, but not Christ. He wanted the blessing. He was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There came a day when he wanted to bless him, but he found no place of repentance, though he sought repentance carefully with tears. You can make of that whatever you want to. That's what it says. Isaiah 34 is all about God's just wrath, his sure judgment upon all the wicked. In verse 6, the prophet tells us of God's utter contempt of those countless sacrifices. Sacrifices by which men and women, religious reprobates like Cain, hope they can find acceptance with the triune Jehovah. And yet the Lord God tells us, the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah. Look at that in Isaiah 63. We see this place, Bozrah, again. The Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah. Oh, rejoice and give thanks. God won't receive the sacrifices of the ungodly. God won't receive the sacrifices of religious hypocrites. God won't receive all the religious services and all the righteous deeds of all the religious people in the world. But there's one sacrifice he will receive and has received. And that sacrifice is Christ, by whose blood his justice is satisfied. Isaiah 63:1. Who is this that cometh from Edom? Cometh from amongst the people who hate God. Cometh from amongst the people who despise God. This one who comes from amongst the people who deserve God's wrath, with dyed garments from Bozrah. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. That's who he is. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine in the wine vat? Because I tread in the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. And I tread them in my anger, and trampled them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. I've set my heart to the everlasting destruction of these who will not bow to me. And the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drink in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Back here in Isaiah 34. If the holy Lord God judged sin in his Son, when he found his Son made sin, you can be sure he will judge sin in you. Did you hear me? If the holy Lord God drew forth his dreadful sword and slaughtered his Son in the fury of his justice when his Son was made sin, you can be sure he will judge sin in you. We live in a generation of religious fools who try to convince themselves and others that there's no such thing as judgment, no such thing as everlasting damnation, no such thing as hell. When men die, they die like dogs. That's the end of it. Or else try to convince you that, after all, God's going to save everybody. You know better. I know you know better. Because God speaks better in your conscience by nature. You are born with consciousness that you can't silence concerning God and eternity and judgment. But the Lord God reserves the greatest severity of his wrath for those people like Esau who willfully despise his grace, choosing instead their own ways. The most dangerous thing you can do the most dangerous thing you can do is hear the gospel and refuse to believe. The most dangerous thing you can do is hear the gospel of God's grace and refuse to believe. Let me show you. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I fully concur with what Brother Lindsay just suggested to you. Find you a place to worship God, to hear God's word. There's no other hope that you'll ever come to know God. And I speak also plainly as the wise man here in Proverbs 1. The most dangerous thing you can do is what you're doing here today. If you hear this message and you refuse to trust God's Son, you can't do anything more dangerous to yourself than that. Proverbs 1:23. Hear what God says. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words to you. Turn to me. Look to me. Believe me. And I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. That's God's word to sinners scattered through the earth. Turn to me and I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll cause you to understand what I've written in this book. I'll cause you to know my words. Verse 24. Because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand. I've stretched out my hand. Come to me. Do you hear the Savior? I stretched out my hand. Come to me. I stretched out my hand, and you spit in my face. No man regarded. But you said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. All right. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll treat you like I did Esau. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, underscore that word therefore as boldly as you can. Therefore, this is the reason. They shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. When you go to hell, you're going to be going the way you chose. When you go to hell, you'll eat the fruit of your own way. You'll be filled with your own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, whosoever believes on the Son of God, whosoever trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever hears God's word, God's gospel, and believes him, whosoever comes to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Quiet from the fear of evil. Back here in Isaiah 34. God has assured us the certainty of universal judgment. In verses 8 through 15, the details of judgment are described by numerous metaphors. Owls, ravens, dragons, beasts of the field, and beasts of the island. I'll leave it to the theologians who want to investigate such things, whether those words would be taken literally or symbolically. But I know this. The message of those verses is clear. God's judgment will be universal. This present earth and that which we call the heavens that we presently see, shall pass away like Sodom and Gomorrah under the fire of God's wrath. When God gets done with this world, that is, when the last of God's elect have been saved by his grace, the purpose for which this world was made, when God gets done with this world, there'll be nothing left but darkness, smoke, emptiness, and confusion. And hell shall be to you a place for owls and bats and beasts to roam freely, a place of desolation where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies. The fire of God's wrath burning in your soul. The worm of guilt gnawing upon you. Then in verses 16 and 17, Isaiah appeals to all to read the book of God and to know the reality of his message. As God fulfilled his word to Edom and made Edom a place of desolation forever, so too he will fulfill his threats of judgment upon the whole world. None shall escape his indignation. The day of the vengeance of the Lord. That's the subject here. When I started preparing this message last week, I started to write some things down. The words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 just kept ringing in my ears. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Throughout this chapter, God is speaking to you and me, and this is what it says: prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Oh, God, make you hear. Prepare to meet thy God. I want to make six statements. I pray God the Holy Ghost will shoot them as barbed arrows into your heart. Here's the first. We're told in Acts 17:31 that there is a day appointed when God Almighty shall judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. You know, so I won't attempt to argue and prove it. You know, you've read it in the book. You know because it's stamped in you and you can't escape it. You know that there is a day coming when God Almighty will meet you in judgment. And the judge in that day will be God the Son, the incarnate God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is no laughing matter. You're going to die. I'm going to change that. You're dying. Life in this world is but a slow death. You're dying. You're dying. You're going to die precisely at God's appointed time. Your days are determined. The number of your months are with God. God has appointed your bounds, and you can't pass them. Did you hear that? You can read it for yourself in Job chapter 14. Your days on this earth were determined by God before ever you drew your first breath. The number of your months are fixed with God, his eternal decree. And God's appointed your bounds. God says, Don Fortner, you can go from here to here no further. You can go from here to here no further. You can go from this day to this day, no further. God's appointed your bounds. And I don't care who your doctor is or what kind of medicine you take. When your day's done, your day's done. And you're going to meet God in judgment. As soon as you die, you'll enter into eternity to meet the holy Lord God in his purity, in his justice, in his righteousness, in his truth. And your days of fooling folks will be over. Your days of conning folks will be over. Your days of excusing things will be over. You're going to meet God. You'll meet God. As soon as you die, you're going to meet God in judgment, and you know it. Go ahead and try to silence that if you want to. You go ahead and pretend that doesn't bother you if you want to. You go ahead and stick your fingers in your ears and scream, no, 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 that's not so. All you want to. You know what I speak to you so. Christ is coming again. And when he comes, the dead will be raised. And after this, the judgment. Here's the second thing. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 21. In that great and terrible day. Now listen to me. Please hear me. In that great and terrible day, God Almighty is going to deal with everyone in strict justice. What do you mean, preacher? You're going to get exactly what you deserve according to God's justice. You're going to receive exactly what you deserve according to God's justice. There'll be no mercy. There'll be no excuses. There'll be no grace. There'll be no leniency. There'll be no bending. Exactly what you deserve according to God's justice. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. No change after you die. Nothing going to change. Nothing going to change. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. In other words, whatever you deserve, that's what you get. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. For outside of the gates are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now the long and short of that is this. None shall be damned who have no sin. None shall be damned who do not deserve to be damned. None shall go to hell who do not deserve to go to hell. Not one. I mean when the books are done and all the damned are cast into hell, no one will have any pity at all, because that's what the damned deserved. No one, no pity. And none shall be saved except those who are perfectly righteous. Perfectly righteous. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Nobody else. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. In that great day, God will judge the secrets of men. Not only their secret works, but their secret thoughts by Jesus Christ. The Lord, the judge, will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and he will make manifest the counsels of the heart. All the works and deeds of men shall be judged. All the words of men shall be judged. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. Every thought of the heart, every motive shall be brought into judgment before God. God will judge the secrets of men. And the basis of judgment, turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 7 rather. The basis of judgment. Here's the third thing. Will be the books which God himself will open and search in their august day. Daniel 7 verse 9. I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Fiery steam issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. God has written many books. Now, when we read about God keeping records, I don't have any thought that God takes out a ballpoint pen or a computer and keeps physical books. Doesn't have any need. He's revealing himself to us, letting us know he knows everything. Everything's recorded in his memory. He wrote a book of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. He said, God tells us in Psalm 19, the sound of God's voice runs through all the earth. Creation declares God is, and you're going to meet him. He wrote a book of providence. Oh, how God speaks by providence. The Holy Spirit says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. How good God's been to you. How good God's been to you. How good. Not just good in a carnal, material way. Had the privilege of living in the wealthiest, most prosperous, free land in the world. Had the privilege of living in a world where you have everything you want at your fingertips. Had the privilege of hearing the gospel, being raised under the sound of the gospel. Now, this is what God says. That goodness, the goodness of God, leads to repentance. It ought to. It ought to. God wrote a book called Your Conscience. Conscience. The book of Holy Scripture, by which he reveals his Son. He speaks of the book of God's remembrance in Malachi chapter 3. And the book of life. Before the world was, God wrote a book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And it inscribed the names of all his elect beneath the name of Christ Jesus the Lord, our Savior, the Lamb. And we live by virtue of that Lamb under whose name our names are written in the book of life. This judgment out of the books John Gill tells us, was designed to show with what accuracy and exactness, with what justice and equity it will be executed. Let's see here. This was this. Yeah. Right, there's the record. Right, there's the record. Here's the fourth statement. The only hope for my wretched, sinful soul in that great day, the only hope, is that someone will stand in my stead before the bar of God as my advocate. Someone who is a substitute, a suitable substitute and representative. Someone who has met all the requirements of God's holiness, righteousness, and justice. Satisfied all the demands of God's offended justice. One who is able to answer to the very character of God for me. And blessed be God, Christ is such a substitute. Christ is such an advocate. Christ is such a redeemer. Able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him. He fulfilled all righteousness in his life of obedience. He satisfied God's offended justice by his death at Calvary. He himself is God in my nature, God in human flesh. He's an advocate. The holy Lord God must hear. An advocate, the holy Lord God must hear. Jesus Christ did all this not for himself, but as a representative, a substitute, a mediator for his people. And when he lived in righteousness, when Jesse, I wish I could say this so clearly, the smallest child in this room get hold of it. When the Son of God walked on this earth in righteousness, I walked in him. When he obeyed God, I obeyed God in him. When he fulfilled every commandment of God, I fulfilled every commandment in him. I'm one with him. And when he died at Calvary's cursed tree, I suffered all the wrath of God in him. Until God's wrath had purged away my sin and my guilt. And God says there's no more wrath in me and there's no more sin in God. That's called substitution. That's called redemption. That's called satisfaction. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. Not let that wretched sinner die. God must hear his plea. See the love of God, amazing, in the death of our dear Christ. See his justice, truth, and mercy in our Savior's sacrifice. Look, O sinner, see God's glory, a just God and Savior too. Justly now, in holy mercy, God can save and pardon you. Justice called and mercy answered. Jesus' blood has satisfied. Yes, the blood our debt has canceled. By the blood we're justified. Here's the fifth statement. If I am found in Christ in that great day, when God searches the books, oh, when God searches the books, he will find nothing against me, no sin, no fault, no trace of sin, but only righteousness, only holiness, only perfection, only Christ. The book of creation will declare that I'm completely one with my Creator. The book of God's remembrance will show no record of my sin. The book of God's law will reveal perfect obedience. The book of the gospel will echo my righteous, perfect, holy life and my right to life eternal from God Almighty He that believeth is not condemned. The book of God's providence will recount all God's wondrous works for my soul. The book of life will reveal my name written there before the world began. And the book of my own conscience, will answer to God as God answers for me. In that great day, my Savior the Lamb, my advocate, the judge of all the earth, who must do right, will take me by the hand, and he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Listen to me. Are you listening? And my conscience will say, "Amen." That's just the way it ought to be. That's just the way it ought to be. That's justice. That's righteousness. That's truth. How can you say that? Because he who bids me enter in is Christ who put away my sin. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 50. I'll show you. Jeremiah 50, verse 20. "In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Don Fortner shall be sought, and there shall be none. And the sin of Don Fortner, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve." One last thing. If in that great day you hope to be accepted of God, you must be found in Christ. If in that great day you hope to be accepted of God, you must be found in Christ. Come to Christ. Without it, be lost forever. Come to Christ and live forever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, Christ is everything you can ever need to all eternity. Christ is life. Christ is atonement. Christ is forgiveness. Christ is righteousness. Christ is reconciliation. Christ is holiness. Christ is acceptance with God. Christ is acceptance with God. I beseech you. Oh, I beseech you. In the name of God, receive not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in vain, but believe his message, hear his word, and come to him now. Come to him now. Believe on the Son of God and go home righteous, justified, sanctified, holy, accepted of God, free from sin in your own conscience, free of guilt forever. Amen.